Well, good morning and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. As we get things going today, I have some exciting news. Audrey went outside yesterday.
I did for an hour and a half.
Woo! She did her hair, did her makeup, like the whole thing, was posting fresh pictures on the gram. I was like, look, she has emerged. Yeah, of course, man.
I have emerged like a little butterfly.
That's right.
It was in my cocooning season, and now we have bloomed.
Speaking of emerging, I legit am about to have a baby. I physically look like I'm about to have a baby as well after all this lockdown. But my wife is like about to go. So it could happen literally like during the middle of the show today or maybe over the course of the next couple of days. I just don't really know. But we do know for sure that if the baby's not here within the next couple of days, they're going to induce. But yeah, at any point today, who knows? We'll see. If there's all of a sudden an absence of me, you know what's going on now. I got some good news and some bad news to get things going today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news?
Yeah, a man gets charged with impaired driving after he calls cops on his friend that was trying to stop him. So a 57-year-old guy in Mapleton, Ontario, Canada, called the cops on Saturday night to report that his friend had been hanging on the rear bumper of his car and tried to stop him from driving. There's a lot of alcohol involved here. When the cops got there, they found out why the friend was doing it. The guy was drunk, and his friend was desperately trying to keep him from driving while intoxicated. The guy was charged with impaired operation, and his license has been suspended. The friend was not charged because he was just trying to do the right thing.
I mean, that's what a good friend does, right?
Yeah, yeah, hangs onto the bumper of your car.
Yeah, and just gets dragged.
Mahoney,
you know?
Did you do that one time? Did you get dragged behind the bumper of somebody's car?
Not intentionally. A lady ran over me when I was on rollerblades.
Okay.
On rollerblades.
On rollerblades.
Can you remind us what kind of car that was? Do you know what the make and model of the vehicle?
I don't remember what kind of car it was. I don't. I really don't.
The trauma made him block it.
Imagine like how lanky Mahoney was. He's just like a baby giraffe on rollerblades. And some lady just plows him over in an Oldsmobile and drags him down the street.
I just envision his like little legs like doing like windmill motions,
flapping
like a cartoon.
All over the place. Yes. Oh, your pain is delightful. Some good news today as well. Bay Area Farm is offering goat and llama cameos for your next Zoom meeting. So this is kind of funny. So if you have to have these Zoom meetings and you just want to invite a goat to sit there and stare at the camera while you're having your Zoom meeting with your office staff, you can now do that. Yeah, so it's the Half Moon Bay Animal Sanctuary, and a goat or a llama or other farm animal can make an appearance in your Zoom meeting. The service called Goat to Meeting has grown popular amongst work happy hours and corporate meetings since it launched last month, according to Business Insider. More than 300 requests, some from Fortune 500 companies and tech startups, have already poured in. A 20-minute virtual private tour of the farm for six people costs just $65. A 10-minute corporate meeting cameo for unlimited guests costs $100. Or ball out on goats for a 25-minute, $250 corporate meeting virtual tour for unlimited guests.
Woo!
Damn. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you are showing who is the office funny guy if you spring for a bunch of goats and llamas to hang out for a half hour.
Yeah, I think this is funny if it's a surprise, but now that there's like a bunch of press talking about it,
yeah,
you're just sort of...
I don't know. I would be so hyped if all of a sudden we got on one of these virtual... any type of broadcast Zoom meeting with our actual like our work employees too. If I got on there and saw llama, it would make everything better. I might pay attention.
I feel like they need to introduce it to like the CNN panels that they have, you know, because they have all of these important minds from all around the world talking about what's going on. And then if you just had a llama there as well, it would really help to kind of lighten the mood of all of the doom and gloom that's out there right now.
Eating one blade of grass,
one delicious blade of grass at a time.
You need a goat to just be like that can talk to who just like just tells whoever it is to just shut the hell up. You know, they crash the Zoom and they're like, hey bossy, shut the hell up, and then just spits right on the camera and then like trots off.
You're like, man, that goat is such a badass. I respect that
thing
so much.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X 107.5.
Hey, it's Mahoney, and I have a favor to ask of you right now.
If you're listening to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or the Google Play Store or the radio.com app, whatever platform it may be, please go rate us and leave a review. It will help us immensely right now while we're all on home quarantine. We really appreciate it, and thank you guys so much for listening. You're the best.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So we all know that COVID-19 and getting the coronavirus is bad. Do you know what's worse than that? Getting the coronavirus in space.
How does that happen?
Concerns are circulating whether the crew aboard the International Space Station could have been infected with the coronavirus prior to launch. A senior Russian official who was present at the launch and was talking with all of the astronauts has tested positive.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
God. Oh, God.
Why? Oh, no. Everything is worse in space.
Yeah, it's like
everything
a bad
is worse in space.
Oh, no.
He is pictured as part of the group adhering to a lack of social distancing, which included the astronauts moments before launch. He is among 30 Russian space personnel with the virus. The crew commander said, quote, "We've been completely isolated at this first stage of training." Huh. Huh.
Well, that's good. You know, I mean, but can you imagine, you like, you're already in space, so you're already, like, pretty, you know, separated away from the vast majority of the human race. But now you get to space, and now you can't even talk to, like, the other, like, six people who are in outer space with you.
I would freak out. Could you imagine? Yeah, not only that, Mahoney, that's a really good point, but if you're in space and you have zero gravity and you're coughing and you feel like you can't breathe and you can't smell and you can't taste, on top of all of that already messing with your brain that you can't put your feet on the ground and walk anywhere, I would go nuts. I'm not meant for space. I could never be an astronaut.
You're just realizing this now, huh?
I don't have the mental capacity. I would crack.
So one airline said that they are going to conduct COVID-19 blood tests on passengers. They're administering blood tests to passengers before they board flights amid this pandemic. Emirates said this week that on a Wednesday flight to Tunisia, that the from Dubai, that passengers were all tested for COVID-19 before departing by way of blood tests conducted by the Dubai Health Authority at the airport's check-in area, and the results were available within 10 minutes. I mean, if that's the case, let's just all book ourselves a flight on Emirates so that way we can get tested and find out whether or not we've had this damn thing. Mm-hmm. Emirates called itself the first airline to conduct on-site rapid COVID-19 tests on its passengers. These blood tests are in addition to other precautions the airline has taken, such as requiring passengers to wear masks. But, you know, this is the sort of thing I think that we're going to start to see more and more of as things get back to normal, is that masks are going to be required at a lot of places that they certainly haven't been required before. And blood tests, I mean, you know, but geez, like, do you want every corporation in the world like having your DNA? I don't know, man.
Right? Or they can see everything else.
There's part of me that loves this and the part of me that hates this, you know. And I feel like before, you know, I mean, if I had to fly right now, then I'm all about it. But, you know, if we're talking like a year from now, do we need these blood tests to fly? Is that something else we want to add to the whole screening security process before we get onto an airplane? I don't know. I mean, it's a dicey situation.
I just don't trust what they're going to do with the data, right? I mean, so that's the thing, like, with...
Yeah.
I've never done one of those Ancestry.com tests just because I don't want to just give somebody my DNA. And the idea that now every company can, in the name of safety, go, well, we need to do a blood test on you. Like, what are you talking about, airline? Like, because what are you going to do with it?
Right.
You know, I'm sitting here trying to get on a flight to go somewhere.
Right?
But like, yeah, who are you going to sell that information
to? They don't just, like, throw it away in a waste bin after. Like, what do you do with it?
Like, yeah, it just seems like the sort of thing that can get pretty dicey pretty quick.
We are watching Westworld currently. We are watching, and there aren't really cool hot robots that probably are going to kill us later.
Yeah, I mean, if it was a cool hot robot that wanted to take my blood, I'd be like, all right, I mean,
fine.
You a freak. Fine. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. So commissioners are saying that there's no football before campuses open for colleges. So the Big 12 commissioner said that that Mike Pence, the VP, was asking questions and hopeful about and optimistic about the fight against the coronavirus and whether or not it was possible that maybe football would be played even before the actual physical campuses reopened. And in short, the answer is no, at least as we sit right now. So They said that there's going to be another call in likely about a month. Division I colleges include about 120 that either play in football second tier or not at all have already taken a big financial hit because of the NCAA tournament that got canceled back in March. Some $375 million will not be distributed to them this year. So there's a lot of money that's obviously caught up in this. But not playing football for the entire season would be even more costly. So they just want to slowly start to roll it out. Of course, the television contracts that pay out hundreds of millions of dollars to the so-called Power Five conferences are also at risk. The other five FBS conferences make far less from TV rights, but it's still something that they heavily rely on is that football revenue. So the lack of football in fall seemed like a distant thought. Like, of course, we're going to have football come fall time for college ball as well as the NFL. We just don't know.
It's creeping up, though.
We just don't know.
It's creeping up. But you know what, sure though? Is. What happens whenever they talk about, like, the millions of dollars? And I understand that, college sports are huge for the universities, but it's really mind-blowing to me that they still hurt that bad even after having college students' tuition and everything else, the housing, the food costs, that still doesn't even, like, make them go, okay, we can be okay for this year. Like, they're still in a panic over the loss of that money. That's just mind-blowing to me.
I mean, it's all these fat cats, just that they siphon out as much money as possible throughout the entire time. So there is no nest egg, you know? There is no safety net. And that's a big problem. We're starting to see more and more of that. You're like, hey, like, I know that a lot of these executives are sitting here, you know, stroking themselves these fat checks. But now all of a sudden, when some of this comes along, the whole system collapses because you've been gobbling up all of this money for all of these years. It's dangerous.
And, well, the other thing, too, you know, I like the fact that they're saying, you know, hey, you're not going to get all of you don't get all the benefits and get to make all this money if, you know, everybody else isn't able to go back and actually get an education and go back to school. You know, it's like we're not going to sacrifice the health of the kids and the players. Before
the production staff,
yeah. Before
trainers,
it's time for it to be back, yeah. Like so, I like that they're this is a good step in my opinion.
As much as I want football back, it is only appropriate, especially when you're talking about kids that are playing for free. Right. Mm-hmm. It's one thing if you're talking about WWE wrestlers or NFL players even that are making, you know, millions of dollars and they're saying, hey, we want to take this risk. We're okay with it individually. I don't agree with it, but that's a lot different than a bunch of kids that aren't getting paid anything going, get out there on the field and definitely don't safely socially distance at this point. So we'll see how things develop over the course of the next couple of weeks and couple of months. But as of right now, the short answer is no.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Yo, your guys' live streams are cool and all, but it's really weird seeing you guys from your houses. I mean, it's weird as hell. All of your houses look exactly as I'd imagined. I mean, except for Mahoney's.
Message deleted.
I wonder what that means. I mean, because Mahoney's got the, I would say the best setup, but he had the best setup before he ruined it with those cheesy Christmas lights.
How dare you? Those are $14. $14 U.S. American dollars.
They look like they were $14. But yeah, so we have, you know, these streams that we're doing every single day now over on our different social media platforms. So if you follow us on Facebook or Twitter, at Dave Mahoney, even Twitch now, we're starting to stream there at DaveMahoney.com.
YouTube.
It's something that we're experimenting with every single day now. And, you know, I will say that even though this whole lockdown has been unfortunate in a lot of ways, us being able to kind of force being to learn how to do some of this so that way we can continue to engage with people has really sort of been a positive for us throughout this entire thing. And a lot of credit goes to Mahoney. He's been working really hard to
absolutely.
I don't think I've said those words before. Mahoney's been working really. Yeah, no, that was the first time. He's been busting his butt to make sure all of this stuff is working and as seamless as possible. And Mahoney, do you feel like you've learned a lot?
Yeah, but I also feel like there's so much more that I don't know from doing all this stuff. But you know, it's been fun. I like the interaction, and we're trying to improve the experience every single day. So you know, any of the avenues that you want to find it, we're trying to make it easy for everybody. You know, because like you know, I know plenty of people don't have Facebook or they're not on Twitter or Periscope or Twitch or any of that. So, you know, even at this point, I think you can just log on to, you know, we'll be able to do like just go to DaveandMahoney.com and be able to watch the streams there just like right from the front page. So when we're live. So, you know, it's we're just trying to find ways to be more interactive. And like I was doing it last night playing around with this at I want to say about 12:30 at night. And I was still shocked at how many comments and everything we were getting just like from a little dumb test stream. Me looking just raggedy tired. Not realizing I was on for like the first 3 minutes, and I'm just sitting there
like, why is just he breathing frustrated. So hard? He's sitting down. Like, why is he out of breath?
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, Dave, just in case you have to book early from the show, just want to say congratulations to you and the wife on the birth of your baby boy.
Message deleted.
Thank you very much, man. It really could happen at any point today, and we don't know for sure if it's going to happen today. But yeah, it is within the next couple of days for sure. So a little nervous because of everything that's going on in the world right now, but definitely more excited than anything. It's first little boy. I have two little girls already that are just everything to me. But definitely looking forward to adding a little dude just to sort of balance it out around here. We need some more testosterone. It's just everyone just screams all the time.
I was going to say, do you feel like the first interaction Olivia, your youngest, well, currently your youngest, is going to have with the baby boy is just she's going to look at him and go, no!
Yeah, she is just going to punch him in the face. She's like, I'm the baby around here. You are banished. Go back to wherever you came from, strange child.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Dave, all kidding aside, this is just unreal. I have the Independence Day quote from the president before the air battle saved on my phone. I love it. It's awesome.
Message deleted.
So we're doing these inspirational movie moments with scenes that get us fired up. And the one from Independence Day where Bill Pullman is sitting there talking about how, you know, it's a fight to survive. And, you know, we will not go quietly into the night. Like, there is just a lot to love about that scene. And that was the one that I pulled to start it off. And then the Mahoney came in pretty hot yesterday with the Goonies. And now Audrey's got one for us as well. So we... Yeah, we'll see if the hot streak continues, but so far it is getting us fired up. And I will say Audrey's choice is interesting. It's interesting. So
this is why she's on the show. You know,
yeah.
We can't just be you and me, you know, because we were essentially like the same person at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. So having a different perspective, and I will say it's a different perspective is nice. We'll just see if people get fired up by it when we get to that a little bit later in the show.
It's good.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So SeaWorld is getting some bad press right now because they have furloughed their staff. And even though 90% of its staff at its dozen theme parks have been furloughed, SeaWorld Entertainment made a deal to give its top executives $6.8 million in restricted stock awards. Isn't that neat? So the newly appointed CEO... Mark Swanson is entitled to $1.5 million in restricted stock awards, and the newly appointed COO, whose name is Walter Bogomil, is getting $1.3 million in restricted stock awards. So not exactly a great look, and I get, you know, that the filings with the SEC have to take place, but, yeah, man, if you're going to be talking about, like, doling out millions of dollars to these fat cats in corner offices, like, just not when everyone is laid off. 90% of the staff, guys. Come on, man. Gotta be.
I mean, the fact that SeaWorld has just been floundering to begin with. The last CEO only lasted 6 months, and he was like, "Yeah, you know what? I'm good on this. I'm gonna ease on out of here." So them getting more bad publicity is probably not great. I'm actually surprised, you know, after Blackfish, that it's still around, right?
Yeah, I mean, shockingly.
Yeah, I mean, all things considered.
That was some bad PR. I mean,
because it was some bad stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I don't know if I'm in the minority here, but I didn't even realize any of that stuff was going on until I saw that. Like, I had no clue. I mean, obviously, Animals in Cages is not, like, the ideal thing, but I had no idea it was to that extent.
So the guy down in Louisiana who has been just pushing off all of these social distancing measures at this church, at the Life Tabernacle Church, including a huge Easter Sunday service, and he said there's 1,300 people there. I don't know if that's true or not, but not a great look. He now has his lawyer, who represents the Life Tabernacle Church, in the hospital, struggling to breathe after coming down with the coronavirus.
Oh, no.
So, when that happens.
He's not blaming the church, though, of course. He said, I went to Albertsons twice a day. I went to Sam's. I went to Walmart. I went to Lowe's. I used the gas pumps. I mean,
he
I just
wasn't careful.
Went to Albertsons
twice a day?
That's the thing that gets me too.
Like what are you doing going to Albertsons twice a day? Like, I mean, there was some idiot who was talking about going to Whole Foods every day as well. I'm like, why are you going to these places every single day during a pandemic?
Yeah, so this guy, unfortunately, has COVID-19, is having some trouble breathing right now. Meanwhile, the guy who is responsible for the actual church services, he did take to social media and the web yesterday to encourage the people that are a part of his congregation. And by encourage them, I mean encourage them to give their stimulus check to him. Because, there hasn't been as many offerings recently.
Even really got COVID at this point?
Well, so it's the lawyer that has COVID, but the actual pastor is the one that's encouraging people to give the money. So it's a little double dip.
Donate your stimulus money. I'm donating my entire stimulus, $1,200. My wife is donating her stimulus, $1,200. My son is donating his stimulus, $600. If you don't have a church, give through my website.
First off, this guy's not getting a stimulus, which is a lie. He's not donating his stimulus, because if you make over $100,000 a year, you get none, first and foremost. Second of all, I don't wish ill upon anyone, but the problem is when these idiots who don't believe in science and think that the some almighty power is going to protect them from a plague or a virus, that's not the case. But they're taking the bed of somebody who didn't willfully want to go and get COVID-19, and that's my problem with this. It's like these idiots who purposely go out there and just spit in the face of science, whereas somebody who could be like 80 years old who's just trying to get by at the store gets sick at the store, and then they don't have a bed because these idiots. That's where I have a problem.
Well, yeah, man. I mean, it's like you see all these people that are intentionally not being safe because they're trying to show the world that they don't need anything except for their faith. No one's knocking your faith. No one thinks that that's a bad thing that you have faith. But if you're going to these events that have 1,000 people a few days ago,
and then get it, it's for a sacrifice.
And like, then going to Albertsons twice a day and Sam's, and you're touching the gas pumps, like, you are endangering
getting
other
everybody
people,
else
so.
Sick. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that Facebook is the one that has the understanding of what's going on here. They just announced that they're canceling all their events for 50 attendees or more until June of 2021. So for over a year now, there's not going to be any large Facebook events. So they're obviously taking this really seriously. They said most Facebook employees are fortunate to be able to work productively from home, so we feel a responsibility to allow people who don't have this flexibility to access shared public resources first, according to Mark Zuckerberg. So when Mark Zuckerberg starts making a whole lot of sense, that's when you're like, we got to catch up here, guys. This isn't exactly the moral pillar that we want to be looking towards, is Mark Zuckerberg.
Catch the David Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
These are trying times for a lot of people around the world. And sometimes we look to cinema in order to inspire us, to encourage us, to help us get through the day, the week, the month, or perhaps even the year. And throughout this week, we have chosen some truly inspirational movie moments. Independence Day, one of the greatest speeches ever given. Harkening back to our youth, Mahoney had Goonies.
This is our time down here.
Audrey brings us home with perhaps the most inspirational movie moments in the history of cinema. What do we have today, Audrey?
We have Elle Woods from Legally Blonde.
All right.
Okay.
Play the clip.
Okay.
On our very first day at Harvard, A very wise professor quoted Aristotle. The law is reason free from passion. Well, no offense to Aristotle, but in my 3 years at Harvard, I have come to find that passion is a key ingredient to the study and practice of law and of life. It is with passion, courage of conviction, and strong sense of self that we take our next steps into the world, remembering that first impressions are not always correct. You must always have faith in people. And most importantly, you must always have faith in yourself.
Yes.
Congratulations, class of 2004.
2004.
I just thought it was perfect for the class of 2020. Honoring them. Always have faith in yourself.
And you know what, Audrey?
On your sacrifice.
By God, you were right. It was the perfect clip. Reese Witherspoon, you have made me feel so much better. Not just about this single accomplishment, but about everything in life. Thank you, Audrey. Thank you.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
So it is TikTok that got you landing in jail, huh, young lady? That's what happened. A Florida woman and her girlfriend were online the other day, and they got into a verbal altercation over TikTok that allegedly turned violent, leading to a domestic battery arrest. According to the cops, Ashley, a 23-year-old, slapped her 24-year-old girlfriend with open hands during a scuffle Tuesday afternoon in the victim's apartment in St. Petersburg. The victim, cops reported, sustained minor scratches to her arms and legs. The women had been arguing over TikTok videos when the dispute escalated, according to the arrest affidavit. A cop noted that there was a portion of the incident between them, and they did not want to press charges against each other. However, as with most states, Florida is one of those states, I believe, where if the cops are called on a domestic violence incident, somebody is going to jail, regardless if the other person wants to press charges or not. So TikTok leads to somebody getting tossed in jail. I believe this is one of the first stories that we've heard like this. Although TikTok does seem like kind of a breeding ground for stupidity, in my opinion.
Yeah, licking toilets and everything.
Yeah. TikTok
if
sucks.
You are going to get into a physical altercation with somebody who you're in a relationship with because they're doing TikTok wrong or whatever reason it may be, you may want to rethink some of the choices that you're making in your life right now.
Yeah, I mean, an old school fight because of YouTube makes a whole lot more sense. Or if it's getting fed directly World Star Hip Hop, then you're not even in the wrong.
I prefer my fist fights to only be about whether or not I am in your top 8 on MySpace or not.
Fair.
Makes sense. So a beauty salon in the suburbs of Cleveland have gotten into some big trouble, the folks that run it, because the cops showed up acting on tips on the phone that the beauty salon was sneaking members of the public in to get their hair did during the coronavirus lockdown. So,
no.
Yeah. Yep, they were telling people to step out of quarantine for old and new clients. In an April 6 post, the woman claimed that she was no longer booking appointments. Sorry, but I tried, but a few bad apples spoiled the bunch. I'm not about to sneak and risk my health, possibly get fined for inconsiderate females, she declared. So on the Facebook page, there was this little community of people that were being invited in to get their hair done, even though, you know, you're not supposed to be doing that right now. Like, does your hair really need to be done? Because you're not seeing anyone. Just stop it, Kathy.
Also, somebody made a great point to me over the weekend that there is something really, really, I don't know if the word annoying works here, but something that's just not right about women calling other women females. It's just kind of degrading a little bit. Like,
right?
What? Like, it just seems a little, like, it makes me just go, ugh. Oh, yeah, because it's never just, like, in a nice way. It's always, like, you females. Like, what? Like, it's so bizarre.
I hear you, icky. But I feel like there's other worse things out there.
Yeah, of course. That's what goes. I just feel it's calling somebody a bunch of bitches, but it's just dressed up like a little bit, going, honey, honey. It's the same type of condescending ick. Like the pat on the head would go along
Ew.
With it. So a man in Florida, in Sebring, Florida, which, by the way, way to name your town after
top
the sweetest
Florida.
Chrysler.
Hey,
that's right.
Top down out. Florida. Woo! Wind in the breeze, in the air. Oh, my God.
Take a man threatened to shoot up a Publix because there was not enough people wearing masks there.
No, don't take me back there.
According to the Post, Robert Kovner took to social media to express his frustration over the lack of mask wearers at an area Publix, and so he threatened a mass shooting. So that's that seems like a good idea. The 62-year-old was arrested for making a written threat of a mass shooting, which is a second-degree felony. He is currently being held in the Highlands County Jail in lieu of $30,000 bond.
That does seem a little extreme. I mean, I get that you want to, you know, make sure that other people are safe, but doing so at the...
By murdering them?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's odd. Doesn't...
Bombing for peace, Dave. You know, he learned it somewhere.
And finally, a New Jersey man broke into an Old Forge funeral home on Saturday night, stripped totally naked, and left a cold beer in a display casket, according to the police. The guy's name is Ethan Palazzo. He is 30 years old. He is charged with burglary, criminal trespass, and criminal mischief, according to the complaint. Police said that he kicked open the side door of the Thomas P. Kearney funeral home, and it was about 8 p.m. The man, who smelled like alcohol, told police he did not have any reason for breaking in. He said that he just wanted to speak with his girlfriend, according to the complaint. He was questioned as to why he was nude when he was arrested. Police say he stripped naked inside the funeral home and left his clothing on the floor of the morgue office. He also appeared to have rifled through the closet containing the morgue's chemicals, though it's not clear if he took anything. Police did find a cold bottle of beer inside one of the display caskets. He also rummaged through a car parked outside and left behind an open can of any guesses as to what type of beer it was?
Oh, it had to be Mad Dog. Mad Dog? Or not Mad, or not Mad Dog.
It was
Bush
a beer.
Light?
So.
Bush Light?
Close. Natural ice beer. Natty Ice.
Natty Ice.
Yeah.
So he left his Natty Ice behind, and they were like, hey, man, why are you naked, and what are you doing? He he did get thrown in jail for it, understandably so.
Do you think
for drinking the Natty Ice alone, he should have been thrown away.
Do you think it's pretty comfortable to just like lay in one of those open caskets?
Yes.
I mean, I doubt it. I mean, why would they make them comfortable?
They always look comfortable, though.
They look comfortable.
They look so peaceful.
They look comfortable, but they're probably not. I mean, it's probably
in here.
It seems like it would be sort of honestly kind of a waste of padding if you're really worrying about the comfort of the.
I want I don't want to be buried, but if I were to be buried, I would like at least a memory foam topper in there.
I'm going to make sure to bury you just to piss you off.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Make sure it's the most uncomfortable casket. I'm going to ask for the most uncomfortable casket, bury you, and not leave you any cold Natty Ice in your casket.
How dare you.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
So tell us about the time that you last used a fire extinguisher. What happened? Antonio said, I was sitting in the back of the truck with my parents in the front, and I saw this cool little red metal thing that I didn't know what it was until I squeezed the handles together, making the fire extinguisher go off in the truck.
Hell yeah.
Both of my parents did not think it was quite as funny as I did, and they had to throw the fire extinguisher away. That's actually a serious question. Are fire extinguishers always single use, or can you repin it and then put it back? Do you guys know?
I don't think they're single. I mean, it depends on the type of one they are. I think the bigger ones, I know you can just pull on them and they just like shoot out a little bit. I don't know if you're supposed to by fire standards, you know, or safety standards, but I know you can, like, you know, you can control the flow with a fire extinguisher through that.
Tori on our Facebook said, I never used one myself, but when I worked at a group home, a kid sprayed one in my face.
Oh,
oh my God.
Oh, right in the face. What?
Maybe similar to this, Meg said, wasn't me, but I worked at a bar. And as you can imagine, it was by the university, so you can imagine the people that would come through there. We had a guy that came in hammered and was slurring, so our tiny 100-pound bartender refused service. Cue the drunk guy getting pissed and refusing to leave. The tiny bartender grabbed the fire extinguisher at the end of the bar, chased him out the door, threatening to hit him with it.
Oh, gosh.
So I have a friend that that used to be a bartender as well, and it was a similar situation where it was late at night, but like he as the bartender full on just lit some dude up, like just sprayed him, blasted him in the face with the fire extinguisher as he was kicking him towards the door. It was really quite the dramatic scene.
Sheesh.
I don't know if he ever got in trouble for that or not.
See,
but
and this is why last call is always a bad idea, right? You know, like you don't see that in places that that don't have last call. For the most part, you know, everybody's just able to, like, order a bunch of food, relax, chill out, and not get sprayed in the face with a fire extinguisher.
I don't even know if I've ever touched a fire extinguisher before.
Really? Never even touched one before?
No,
huh.
I don't even know if we've got one in our house.
You should just in case. Yeah.
Yeah, you should learn how it responds, and you should definitely see if you have one in your house, because it's much like a seatbelt. You never really care about it until you really, really need it. Mm-hmm. Elena said, I think I was 18 and I was babysitting. I was cooking a pizza at my apartment for the kids I was watching, and it caught on fire, and I had to use the fire extinguisher in the oven.
Oh.
Like you pull the oven open and just...
Yikes. What a
When's
cleanup.
The last time? Yeah, well, I mean, just you know, it ruins the pizza as well. Not that it wasn't already ruined, because if it was on fire, I guess it was probably pretty burnt. But you know what I mean. So when's the last time that you had to use a fire extinguisher? You can text us at 73100.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So when's the last time that you had to use a fire extinguisher? This one's pretty intense. Ian on our Facebook, at Dave Mahoney, said, I was in the military on the base honor guard. We were headed to a Labor Day demonstration for a local VFW post. My friend was driving. My lieutenant was shotgun. I was on the bench seat in our 15-passenger van, just the three of us. We were on the freeway. My friend had to brake really hard. The fire extinguisher in the van broke out of its bracket, slid down the wheel well, hit the end, sheared the pin, compressed the handle, and it filled the van with fire extinguisher innards. Ooh, we were going 75 and all of a sudden you couldn't see or breathe. My friend and lieutenant thankfully rolled down their windows so we could see and get over to the shoulder. We stopped. I threw the door open because I didn't have a window to roll down. Everything inside of the van except for where I was sitting and where my hat was on the seat next to me was absolutely covered.
Oh my God, that is... I mean, you were so lucky that it didn't end up in a worse, you know, catastrophe, but that is something out of, like, I feel like that's out of Tommy Boy, you know? I mean, I feel like that is straight out of Tommy Boy with, like, the hood flying up and you can't see when you're driving, but instead of a hood, it's a fire extinguisher.
Which... Yeah, I mean, this story would have been a lot less cool if there actually was a fire and literally everything in the entire van got covered except for you and your hat. Oh, man. Ross said, I caught my 95 Cobra on fire while installing an engine in it. Almost burned down my parents' garage/house in the process. The thing that sucked the most is the intake was powder-coated black, and afterwards it looked like a damn powdered donut.
Oh, damn. I mean, did you see the viral video that was going around the other day? It was of a Lamborghini that was sitting at a stoplight that was revving its engine. And it caught and ended up catching on fire because it was revving its engine so much because they have this thing where it like recycles it evaporated gasoline particles to give it more power or something like that. So you're not supposed to be just being a jackass at a red light revving your engine. And the whole Lamborghini caught on fire. And it was like I always wonder, like I'm always wondering because my mom has been in a car fire. Like she had a pretty sweet 95 Probe. It wasn't periwinkle blue, Dave, but it was a pretty sweet cherry red. Was not the GT.
Yeah.
It was the SE. And her car caught on fire in a parking lot of a place called Grandpa Pigeons. It was kind of like a TJ Maxx before TJ Maxx was a thing.
Hell yeah.
And I always wonder about how car fires start, right?
Yeah, how do they start? And how terrifying is that? Your poor mom, she's probably freaking out.
She was not happy about that.
Speaking of vehicles catching on fire, my boyfriend had to use one on his motorcycle, which caught fire. He was driving, pulled up to a stoplight, and somehow an electrical fire started on this motorcycle. And then, out of nowhere, a Volkswagen bus full of hippies pulled up, threw him a fire extinguisher, and just drove off.
Hell what? Yes.
All right.
Talk about being clutch. What a moment.
Thanks, hippies.
Right up.
Thank you, Guardian Angel hippies.
We ain't got time to stick around for this burning-ass car.
Hell yeah. This one over on our Facebook page, at Dave Mahoney, said, it's from Mark. He said, we just moved into a new house, and I sprayed my sister for fun. Yes. I was 23.
No.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
When is the last time that you had to use a fire extinguisher? Because very rarely are you using a fire extinguisher casually. You know, it's always, oh my God, something crazy is happening. And this one we got from Philip over on our Facebook page. He said, I used to work on underground gas lines, and I had an incident happen to me when I was in the hole working on the gas pipeline. I had this laborer we called Smokey, and he was supposed to be the fire watch with a fire bottle just in case. Well, he liked to talk and got distracted. He leaned on the bottle and sprayed me while I was working. Boy, was I mad. I mean, Philip, you put a dude who has ADD named Smokey on fire watch? I mean, yeah. It's kind of on you, man.
Yeah.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Renee's name's Killer, and I gave him a gun.
I gave him a knife and pissed him off just to see what would happen. Renee said, I never used one because I worked in the food industry, and if there's an oil fire, we would use salt because if we used a fire extinguisher, we would have to close the entire restaurant and wait for the fire department to release us to reopen, which could take days.
Whoa.
But in the food industry, as long as you keep clean, the chance of a grease fire is pretty slim. But that actually makes a lot of sense.
Did you guys ever have or work at a restaurant where the safety system kicks in over the grill?
No.
They have the foam system and the
above
the grill. It is
such a mess, and some restaurants have it basically throughout the entire kitchen, so that way if something goes, it doesn't go.
No.
But yeah, it's basically like everything just.
The steakhouse I worked at had that, like, somebody let the flames get way too close to it and way too high for who knows how long, and it ended up going off, and it just creates this mess that they had to shut down the kitchen, I think, for an entire day, and all staff was on hand just cleaning and trying to get it back up to code, and man, what a nightmare that was.
This one, it said, it's an answer to the question whether or not they can be reused. To answer your question, yes, fire extinguishers can be refilled, but you want to make sure you use a licensed fire company. Never reuse without having the actual device recharged by a fire company. They won't work as there won't be any pressure. So, yes, you can use a fire extinguisher again, but it has to be properly refilled is the short answer to that. And then one final one here, and this one, some college ingenuity. Jimmy said, we used to steal them in college to put out the bonfires that we had going illegally on the peninsula on the Charles River in Boston. Me and my roommate would take it, put it in a duffel bag, and then replace it in another dorm when we were done with it the next day.
Oh, oof. Wow.
I mean, so you think about the idea of stealing them to begin with and then using them to put out illegal bonfires and then replacing them in a different dorm so you didn't get in trouble for it.
Well, just hope that dormitory never caught a fire.
Yeah, right?
Right?
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Yeah, 37 college kids died in a horrific dorm fire because Jimmy and his buddy wanted to try to get laid at a keg party on the Boston River.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
What up, Dave and Mahoney? Hey, so me and my friends did one of those FaceTime happy hour game night things because you can play like a game with each other over the internet and all that. Anyways, fact is, I got pretty hammered. Anyways, this is to chime in on the shower seat. So I have two master bedrooms, one upstairs for like the guests. But that one has a built-in bench that you can sit on it in the shower, which I tried to get it for ours downstairs. But for some reason, the option was available. But anyways, that's now my hangover shower as I spent 45 minutes chilling on that damn bench.
Oh, yeah.
Letting the water hit me. Dave, you're crazy. I know. I think you have one in your house and you don't use it. You're nuts. It is amazing, especially if you're hungover. All right, let it gas.
Message deleted.
The best.
Now, what are you guys talking about? You're insane. Who wants
minutes,
to
I spend the whole
sit
day in there?
Who wants to sit in a shower for 45 minutes and certainly an entire day? I do have a bench in my shower in my master bedroom, but I think that it's not configured correctly because it's to the side. So it's not like at the back of the shower. It's over to the, if I'm standing facing the water, it's to the right. And so that doesn't do me any good. Like, I guess I could maybe like try to turn the head so yeah. it were to hit me on it. But I mean, what I'm very goal oriented when it comes to two things, shopping and showering. Like, I just want to get in and get out. Like, I want to handle the business. I don't take a great deal of satisfaction
or comfort
in a shower. Nope,
no,
I don't. I also don't like hot tubs.
No.
I don't like baths. No, none of that stuff. All of it.
Oh, those are a few of my favorite things. I love.
I don't like saunas. I think saunas are awful and creepy. I hate saunas. Yep, none of that stuff is for me.
Oh no. Yeah, no. I have sat in the shower hungover long enough for the water to turn cold. That's when you know it's hurting.
That's my problem with baths in general. Is the idea that. You get into a bath and it's the right temperature for all of like 3 minutes, and then it starts to get too cold, and then it gets scalding hot, and it's just.
My dream is to live in a place that has a shower that we could, I could just sit there and maybe even live. If I could, like, get a bed set up in there as well for, days where I'm just really not wanting to get out of bed, because there's something so magical about being in a warm bed, and there's something so magical about being in a very warm shower. And if you could just combine the two of those things together, I think that would be the greatest thing in the world, and we could probably become billionaires by patenting and pushing this thing out.
Mahoney, did you fix the sound yet?
No, I'm fixing it right now.
For those that are watching the live stream, it needs to be fixed.
Mahoney, I feel like that's also the moldiest idea you've ever come up with.
You think so?
In the shower? Yeah, I'm just saying it's going to smell after a while, man. I don't recommend putting a bed in a shower. Especially one you're using for showers.
Yeah, lots of black mold.
Yeah, and that's actually a real testament to say that's the moldiest idea that he's come up with, because most of his ideas somehow involve mold. Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of cheese, there's a lot of mattresses, there's a lot of showers. This is just, it's not safe for
cheese.
Anyone. A lot of, what you gonna do with all that cheese?
What are we gonna do with all that cheese? Everything.
So what's the one thing about broadcasting from home that you hate the most? Does it really change your job that much? There has to be one big thing that's different that must be killing you. So let me know.
Message deleted.
It's not that bad. I mean, if we're being honest, it's really not that bad. It's definitely different, and I don't like it. But there's also things that I do like about it, like the fact that I every day put on the same pair of sweatpants and just roll right downstairs into my home office, as opposed to having to get up and go anywhere. I do miss the routine, though. I do miss the norm of just getting up and going about our lives like we've become accustomed to over the years. It's not the same not being in the same place as you guys. So while I don't hate it, it certainly I look forward to when we can actually go back into the office.
Go ahead. That's what I hate the most. The stupid delay.
Yeah,
that we can't figure out who's talking when. That's what I dislike the most. But outside of that, it's just the technical things. But we're a month in on this and we're figuring it out for the most part. I think Dave, has some other challenges that like Ian and Audrey and I that we don't have, because he's got two little kids and soon to be a third running around the house. And the third one's probably not going to be running around the house. If he is, sign him up to be a track star. I feel like you have some, there's some other challenges in that regard as well. When I'm drinking too much and I'm yelling, my wife starts yelling at me.
That doesn't happen
at the station.
Yeah. You're right. Well, she yells at you for cussing, because you'll get on the live stream here and you'll just start cussing up a storm, and then she gets mad at you. She comes in as your little censor. It's kind of cute, man.
Please
We're not governed by the FCC there. It's fine.
Here's a question. If all of you were given the opportunity to move the show to another country and make 40 times the amount of money that you make now, what country would you all want to agree to a move to?
Message deleted.
To another country? And we make 40 times as much, it can be any other country? I mean, Canada. It's like, it's
no,
right there.
No. Yeah, no. We don't go Canada. I go St. John. Or St. John or St. Thomas. Whichever one's the British one. I think it's St. Thomas.
Band's already splitting.
Yeah, that's like I want to go somewhere warm.
Okay, all right. Well, so if you want to go,
we can summer in the in Canada, I suppose.
Summer in Canada. New Zealand seems pretty awesome.
Yeah,
everything about New Zealand seems pretty good.
Like, I mean, if you were like moved to Iran for 40 times what you're making right now, I'd say no. But New Zealand, sure. Can I just get it? Can we go equal? Like you know, whatever the cost of living is there versus here, just that increase.
No, actually, I think Iran would be interesting because I'd really like to see how Audrey would deal with the idea of not being allowed to drive by the government. That would be pretty cool.
I think I would be the first to go of all of us then, because I would be driving everywhere with my middle finger out the window, like, "What up, suckers?" Yeah, I'd be dead.
We're like, "Yeah, so it's only Tuesday, and Audrey's been executed. This is weird."
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So as people around the world are, you know, grappling with having to work at home, like we were just talking about a couple of minutes ago, Zoom has become one of the go-to platforms that people have been using. And we've talked a lot about how the challenges have quickly arisen from Zoom. But Google plans to add a Zoom-like gallery view to its business and education-focused Meet video conferencing service to let users take calls right from Gmail. So there's a lot of people are already using Gmail or G Suite type products, and they're saying that, hey, look, we kind of like what Zoom has done with the gallery view thing, and so now they're going to be taking that and adding it to Google. Zoom looked like they were going to kind of run away with it, and now it looks like that's not the case as more and more people go, hey, what are the features that you like on Zoom? Nope. All right, cool, we're just going to steal that and put it on ours.
Well, on top of that, you know, I feel like Gmail is kind of used and widely used by a whole lot of people out there already. So one less thing that I have to have on my computer or one less application that I need to do, and if I could just do it straight through Gmail, then I am way more likely to use that than I am to fire up Zoom.
So there is a number of people that have gotten their stimulus checks already, and Audrey and Ian are a couple of them. Yep. Have you guys already made any purchases with your $1,200 stimulus checks?
Yep.
What did you what'd you buy?
I got some hiking boots. Like, I hike, but we're going to try.
Start really?
That becoming a new hobby. Yeah.
Okay,
so,
all right.
I got some hiking boots.
See, you're supposed to do that when you're like in the early part of your relationship with your husband, not like 8 years in. Like, hey, let's start hiking. Yeah. You know, that's like when you're like early and you're trying to court them.
I don't have any hobbies, guys.
Any purchases for you, Ian?
I spent over $100 on weed. That's really about it. And then I took the rest out and put it under the mattress.
Good for you.
Hopefully, your house doesn't burn down.
They're starting to do surveys. They're starting to do surveys of things that people are buying with their stimulus checks, and one person shared on Twitter that she went out and bought one of those inflatable dinosaur costumes. So I assume it's one of the T-Rex ones, which it seems like maybe we've missed the boat on that. I don't know, those are still funny, but I don't know if they're as funny
as
they were.
Played out?
Yeah.
They were played out like 4 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think 4 years ago, but I think in the last year, it's like we've kind of seen all of the when we saw the T-Rex in the windstorm holding the American flag, kind of reenacting that one where like it looked like a tornado was blowing through. I think that was kind of peak T-Rex costume. This one said another user spent her stimulus check on the electric bill. Car payment paid off a small credit card debt, so that's very practical. Somebody else weighing in saying tank tops and a bidet. And the bidet, excellent choice.
All day. Great choice. You are on the next level when it comes to the people of here in America, because the Japan and several parts of Europe have it nailed in with the bidets, whereas we here in America are just, I don't know why. I thought we were the best country in the world. I thought we were the bravest country in the world, but we're afraid of a little water on a bum. Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the water placement is excellent. And then this one, tip of the cap to you. One healthcare worker said that she decided to buy a $200 adult toy to let off some steam after paying off her credit card. So you know what? Good for you, man. Good for you. You get yours. If you had a long 12-hour day, just go ahead and relax with a hot bath. And
lay on down, girl.
Audrey, can you help us out here? Is $200, would that be considered a very high-end one? That seems like a lot of money to spend on one of those things.
Holy crap, yes. She's got it, like, Bluetooth. She's got it to where it's like, Alexa, turn on my thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Dinner afterwards.
Alexa, slow down.
Easy now.
Speed up. Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5. The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show presents The Internet is Awesome.
So it's time to introduce you to an artist by the name of Chevy Mustang. Mahoney, why don't you take us through this before we play this? I mean, this is something that you stumbled across online, and this is the brainchild of Max Collins, who is the former lead singer, or I guess still he's still the lead singer of Eve 6 whenever they tour, but that's where he kind of got his first big break, and they've done fitness over the years as well. But Chevy Mustang, man, it really speaks to all of us.
Chevy Mustang is the new greatest artist in the world. You know, in these times of quarantine, a lot of us have a lot of free time on our hands. And luckily, we have been graced by, again, I mean, Mozart, Beethoven, Chopin, Tchaikovsky, Justin Bieber, all move over. Led Zeppelin, Michael Jackson.
Let us introduce you to Chevy Mustang.
I want to have a birthday. I want to have a party. I want to make it happen. Why? Because I want to. I want to go to Disney. I want to spin and cycle.
Just so good. I wish that we could just put that on loop forever. But I will say that the idea that Chevy Mustang is going to join us on one of our live virtual happy hours and do some drinking with us in the not too distant future is so exciting. What a true artiste.
The cutting edge of electronic music that has just really swept the entire nation. So if you're not following Chevy Mustang on Instagram and Twitter, please, or YouTube, do so. Follow the Chevy Mustang. And I will say this. Chevy Mustang is such a prolific artist that I believe the creators of The Big Lebowski traveled, the Coen brothers, time traveled to 2020 and saw the glorious video and the glorious music that was Chevy Mustang, and then used them to base their band Autobahn around the Big Lebowski. So if you remember the band Autobahn from The Big Lebowski, definitely a ripoff of Chevy Mustang.
If you missed this earlier in the week, there was a woman who was talking about being in love with a chandelier, and this one is worth revisiting. This is from over in the UK, and she was saying that her love for different light fixtures, including an antique chandelier that she calls Lumiere, which I think is a ripoff from Beauty and the Beast. Wasn't that the name of the candle?
Yes.
She was saying that her love for this chandelier was protected under the sexual orientation laws, and a judge just this past week ruled, no, it's not.
I'm in love with chandeliers, and I'm making a commitment to my favorite one, Lumiere. I first fell in love with chandeliers 3 years ago when I walked into an antique shop.
First fell in love with chandeliers when she walked into an antique shop, and yes, it is. The story only gets stranger from there. Yes,
I mean, who's the top in that relationship? Is it the chandelier? Because I mean, like,
no, she's the top.
Ow.
She's the top.
Because, I mean, I feel like if you get on top of the chandelier, it's going to come crashing down, but...
Wait, you got more control.
Are you saying that the chandelier, you can only love it if it's well hung?
Yes.
And to round us out, and the internet is awesome, how about a cover of Lionel Richie's Hello from earlier in this week as well?
Sometimes I see you passing in my door. Hello. Is it me you're looking for? Can I see it in your eyes? Can I see it in your smile? You're all I ever wanted, and you're always on my mind, 'cause you know just what I say.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
I'm so good. Why'd you cut that off?
Because if people are driving right now, I don't want them to get too aroused. It's just, it would be irresponsible of us, this broadcast.
Fair.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
All right, let's try this again. So here we go with some local top stories. Jackie Rosen, who is a senator from right here in Nevada, has been added to Donald Trump's task force on reopening the economy. I just like that we have a seat at the table. That's very important right now, obviously, in order to try to get things open back up in Clark County when the time is right. Nevada is one of the states whose economy has been hit the hardest by the coronavirus, according to Jackie Rosen, and we must work together not only to overcome this pandemic, but to plan for what comes next. So ahead of the expected rollout of the guidelines to open up the country, we're starting to see, you know, the phase one, phase two, phase three. Any plans to reopen states must comply with guidelines from medical experts and state and local government officials. These are trying times, but we are a resilient nation, and together we will forge a path forward. So the idea that a senator from Nevada is on that panel is a good thing, because we're gonna have a lot of stuff to deal with when we find our way through this thing.
I mean, for many years, Nevada was very well represented by Harry Reid. I mean, he was, Speaker of the House, and, you know, he was the head of the Democrats for many years. And so, obviously, Nevada had a big voice when it came to U.S. politics. And now that, Harry's been retired for a few years, he was replaced by Catherine Cortez Masto. But to see Jackie Rosen, who is the junior senator here in Nevada, who's, you know, like I said, still very new in the Senate, to get a seat on this task force, that's good. Because, again, Nevada is going to need a lot of help. Because, again, like, we're seeing 25%, you know, we haven't seen any official, like, unemployment numbers hit for Nevada, like, across the entire valley yet. And I'm kind of scared to see those when they actually do hit. But we have heard numbers from Detroit, and that's floating around 25%. I have to imagine that we're past that by this point.
So the number of new COVID-19 cases in Nevada increased by 203 overnight in Nevada, and that's the biggest overnight surge since April 8th. Now, the deaths remain the same, which is good. So people are able to get the medical attention, but this is still spreading in the area. Clark County, obviously, is the hardest hit. So the number of new coronavirus cases in the state is now at 3,524, which is, you know, considerably less than we're seeing in other very populous places and also very well-traveled places. New York remains the hardest hit area in the United States. And Nevada is seeing the numbers go up, but we have seen the curve flatten, and there's no more new deaths. So as it sits right now, it's kind of a mixed bag when it comes to, is that good news or bad news? It's bad that we're seeing another jump in new cases, but they do see the person that they're calling patient zero in the COVID-19 fight has been in a coma for a month, and now like they are they're starting to recover a little bit. So that is actually a good thing, considering everything that's been going on around the country. Nevada pretty early in the shutdown process. But, man, I don't know. I mean, there's all this talk about May 1st being the date when everything reopens. I have a hard time seeing that, considering we're already more than halfway through April, and this is where we sit with these new cases being announced on kind of the daily. And part of that's that there is more testing that's available out there, but May 1st seems like it's going to be pretty tough to pull off.
I mean, California's got their date is May 15th now, and there's actually some private businesses like Universal Studios. They said nothing until at least June 1st, at least, and that it probably will get pushed back even further. I mean, and if you go with Canada's not letting cruise ships dock until at least July, maybe further. So I feel like May 1st is kind of an unrealistic goal for Nevada. Nevada's been a pretty, we've been pretty good about, when we close down, we're a couple weeks usually behind California and what's going on. I mean, obviously, you've seen what's going on with Washington, Oregon, and California. They've got kind of a West Coast alliance happening between those states when they're going to reopen their economies. And I have a feeling that we're going to kind of follow that lead with these other Western states as well, because we have to pay attention to, what's going on. And yes, luckily we are flattening that curve, but if you still see how many cases there are, it is a lot of cases. And we, as some of the experts have predicted, around the 15th, 16th, 17th, we don't know if these are the peak days, but the last couple days have been the peak days when it comes to death, which is really, really sad.
Yep.
So an employee at the Whole Foods on Las Vegas Boulevard has tested positive for COVID-19. So Fox 5 confirmed this on yesterday morning. According to the company, the employee is just an employee. There wasn't any additional information that was made available. But the memo that was sent out to the staff of that Whole Foods says the affected employee last worked at the store on April the 11th. So that's just a couple of days ago. Anytime there's somebody that's in one of these environments, whether it's a Costco or a Smith's or a Whole Foods or whatever, it's scary, right? Because there's so many people that are going through there, and that's a lot of times the only places that they're going outside of their house is to go get the essentials. So, but it's worth, it bears repeating, right? So just know that an employee at the Whole Foods on Las Vegas Boulevard there at Town Square has tested positive for COVID-19.
Again, you got to think about how we are always sitting here saying, like, there could potentially be so many more. Like, just one person at each one of these stores is so much less than what we would probably be thinking is actually happening. So good on those grocery stores for actually keeping it so clean that we're hearing so little about these employees actually getting sick.
You're exactly right. I can't believe that there aren't more. I really can't, I mean, just the fact that those are the places where, I mean, is there a bit, like if you were looking for a place to be, like normally, like the club was packed on a Friday night or a Saturday night. No, it is the grocery store, since it's one of the few essential places that's open. And, the people who are on the front lines there working, the cashier's working, the people who are stocking, everybody else, the people who are there making sure that the carts are sanitized on the way in and way out, which, good on them. These people are, they give them
all the pay.
Mm-hmm. All the pay, because they are putting their lives at risk. And, thoughts go out to this, the person who caught it at Whole Foods.
Absolutely.
And if you're wondering why a lot of these places don't tell you more, well, they can't, because there's like HIPAA violations.
HIPAA.
So they're not allowed to talk about, like,
There's a person that's involved here. And so blabbing about that person's very, real health concerns now is not fair to that individual. So just be aware somebody at that store that's been working in the last few days has tested positive, but they're doing everything in their power to make sure it's still a safe and clean environment.
Catch the David Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
So Ian said that making the blooper reel this week was one of the easiest that he's ever had the task of doing, because we screwed up so much.
Dave, you are a little bit more justified in this. I know you have a lot going on right now, not only technically, but with your family and everything. Mahoney and Audrey, one question for you. What the hell are you guys doing?
I was perfect this week. What are you talking about?
You were
I don't remember making any mistakes this week. I mean, on the video stuff, but not on air. I feel like I was superb.
Well, he's wrong. Maybe you're right. Let's have a listen.
It's the... that's the blooper reel.
Mahoney, what you're doing right now is a limited version of what I do every single day to try to make this show go. So now you understand what it feels like to have to simultaneously push buttons while talking to you. Now you understand what it feels like to have to simultaneously push buttons while talking to you. You put that thing to your head a couple of times and
my husband did not bring me a shot glass, so what were my options?
What were my options?
The leaves as he stole his specimen.
Kind of bike it was? Was it like a beach cruiser? Was it a tricycle? Was it one of those old-timey big giant wheel?
Why do I imagine?
Yeah, tiny ones in the back.
Why do I imagine
villain mustache?
Yeah,
tiny ones in the back.
Why do I imagine
villain mustache?
The news comes as Australia's Prime Minister criticized the World Health Organization's support for reopening of the wet markets. He said it was unfathomable for them to be reopening this at this time. Unfathomable.
I just hope that we take this into account when voting comes around, because this is garbage. I just hope that we take this into account.
He said it was unfathomable. Unfathomable. Now you understand what it feels like to have to simultaneously push buttons while talking to you.
My husband did not bring me a shot glass, so what were my options?
I just hope that we take this into account.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
So how about this one, Mahoney? You know who Von Miller is, of course. He's one of the best players in the NFL on the defensive side of the ball. Yep. Yeah, he got the MVP of the Super Bowl. And he's a superstar player for the Broncos, one of the best pass rushers in the game. According to his agents, he told Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network that Von Miller has tested positive for COVID-19. He is at home resting and in good spirits. His announcement comes one day after the center for the Rams, Brian Allen, revealed that he also was diagnosed with COVID-19. Allen said he became concerned after he lost his sense of smell and taste. He is also on the mend. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of these, you know, healthier individuals find their way through it. But I mean, you think about, you know, some of these top athletes, Kevin Durant, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, amongst others. So Miller is an eight-time.
The ones we've heard about, too. Right. You know, I mean, think about, like, I mean, not an athlete, but I mean, if you're talking about famous people, like, we didn't even hear about Pink and her daughter until after they had already beat it. But Von Miller, I mean, crazy that he got that, you know. I mean, luckily he's a very healthy guy. Did he pop for cocaine one time?
It was either cocaine or ecstasy.
Was it ecstasy?
Or maybe both. God, but he's cleaned his life up considerably.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah, I mean,
he's become quite the role model for a lot of people that are going through it. But he's a pretty sharp guy.
Drugs and be a good person.
I was going to say, I bet every one of your role models has done something that they're just keeping on the low, not in the public eye.
Of course they have.
Not getting drug
tested. Of course they have. Yeah. So Saved by the Bell is going to have a new spinoff here, and there's both a trailer and a premiere date. So it was expected to debut later in 2020, so no exact premiere date as of right now because of everything that's going on. They're still saying that it's going to launch for some users on July 15th. But Mahoney, you're a big fan of Saved by the Bell, the original version, and you said you were pretty skeptical about this when you first saw that they're going to have a revival.
I thought this was going to be garbage. I'm like, oh, God. I mean, because obviously the original Saved by the Bell, very cheesy. But, you know, we were very young when it came
out.
Everyone
loved it.
And who didn't want to watch, Kelly. What young boy who didn't love Kelly Kapowski or Jesse or Lisa Turtle? They were all, you know, like as a young man, they were all gorgeous.
All of them.
Jim on our live stream over on Facebook said, I hope Screech is in this one, too. There's no way that Dustin Diamond makes it back in.
No, Dustin Diamond.
It's literally everybody but him. I think they even brought Tori back. I think they're bringing Tori back, and they're like, Screech, no. And they're not bringing back Lisa because they both have just completely gone off the deep end. She was the girl in the leather jacket.
Yeah,
she was kind of like she was in the one
when
couple
she
of later
went off
seasons.
On the. Yeah. Oh, I was thinking that you were talking about
we've got some audio from this, and Tori Spelling was in it, but we're talking about the actual character of Tori. But the preview looks great. I laughed during the whole thing. I really did, and it looks like it shot pretty well too.
Yeah, I have the audio right here. Let's take a listen.
When I was in high school, I constantly used to fight with my best friend over a hot girl. I was actually your dad. Over your mom. Then I just found another girl that I really liked, and I started hooking up with her instead. Oh, wait, that was your mom.
Okay.
So it seems like it's geared more towards adults than it is towards like teenagers.
Towards
and there was,
so,
like, and the scene before that, you know, he was like, that was Mario Lopez talking. He was like giving an inspirational speech to one of the students. He's like, you know, I know you see me and I look like this super buff, hot, fun guy. And then the kid's like, Coach, I saw you eating beans in your car.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it looks pretty, I mean, I don't know. It looks funny, and I will definitely give it a shot. It's not going to be on traditional platforms, but it will be on the Peacock Network, which is the streaming service that NBC is rolling out.
So Dr. Fauci has become kind of a sex symbol for some people. In fact, Audrey, we were talking, was last week or the week before, about how some people are saying he should be the sexiest person alive.
Do you
find any appeal in old Dr. Fauci?
Heck no, but that doesn't matter. Everybody's got their own flavor. I mean, and he is obviously, who else are you going to put on the cover right now? I mean, anybody else would just be a terrible pick. I mean, and he is doing so much for the nation, obviously, so get him on the cover.
Well, Dr. Fauci has found a way to endear himself even more to the public, especially people that are single during this time. He is saying that it is okay if you want to get down with a Tinder date as long as they are asymptomatic. So, you know, if somebody's not coughing up a lung or and they have their sense of do you test them though? Like, do you go over and do you like bust ass to see if they have their sense of smell?
Send me a picture of your temperature.
Right.
If you're swiping on a dating app like Tinder or Bumble or Grindr and you match with someone and you just kind of like, maybe it's fine if this one stranger comes over. What do you say to that person?
You know, everybody has their own tolerance for risks, and it depends on the level of the interaction that you want to have. Aww. You're looking for a friend, sit in a room, put a mask on, and, you know, chat a bit. If you want to go a little bit more intimate, well, then that's your choice regarding a risk.
I like that he's
get a lozenge.
He's not backing down from
though for the last. Yeah.
I know.
I like that he's not backing down from the fact that it's risky to do it. But he's like, look, so sometimes you gotta get your butt licked. All right, I get it.
It's the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Got you.
What up, Hokage? Question, man. When people say, yo, that was thumbs down the best show, or yo, all of mine start with yo, by the way. Yo. Thumbs down, that was the best restaurant I ever ate at, Mahoney. But, like, isn't thumbs down, like, usually a disapproval? So, what am I missing here? Like, when people say thumbs down, or, like, when people boo, we do the thumbs down. I'm confused.
Message deleted.
Ivan, you are so stoked.
So high.
It's hands
so
down.
High.
It's hands down the best
hands
place
down.
I've ever been. It's not thumbs down. It's hands down.
Hands. I love that so much. I love him so much.
He doesn't
know
words. Oh my God.
Yo, thumbs down. He's even saying thumbs down his whole life. He's like, yo, thumbs down. That was the best sex I've ever had, baby.
But I mean, I feel like he brings up an interesting point, though. Like, I do feel like, you know, anytime somebody does say, like, hands down, like, that's the best. Like, I'm always skeptical because there's no way that is hands down the best place ever. Like, I feel like that's just a phrase that gets used way too flippantly.
You wouldn't say hands down Dirt Dog is amazing for a bang bang lunch with Bossy Rossi.
Yeah, no, it's amazing is different than the best. There's a big difference between the verbiage there. Like, amazing.
What would be the best?
I don't know what the best is because I haven't eaten at every hot dog place in the city. So I
yet.
Honestly probably couldn't tell you.
Yet.
Working my way. Once
the
soap
is down.
Hey, guys, I was just wondering how close to the show you guys actually wake up now. I mean, I remember you guys saying that you used to get up pretty early before the show. I mean, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm thinking that Mahoney, he probably doesn't even wake up till about 6:05 these days.
Message deleted.
You're not wrong. Show him your alarms there, Mahoney. Go ahead.
Hold on.
If you're watching along on DaveMahoney.com, then you can see Mahoney toss this up. But he's going to show us all the alarms that he has set. And
5:45.
Yeah, the normal time that you have on there, sure. Yeah, the 4:45, 4:30 in that range. But now he wakes up at either 5:45 or 5:55.
Oh my gosh! What is that? 5 minute increments?
Why do you have one 4:06 a.m. though? Why is that even in
That's
there?
For the weekend.
One for 6:15 and 6:30. So he doesn't want to wake up more than a half an hour late into the show.
what a commitment. Is this? This is psychotic. Just hit the snooze button.
Do any of you have friends that you thought you were really close with, but have not reached out once during the lockdown? I'm talking about you, Sean. I'm done with you, man. I gave you everything for way too long. Have a good life.
Message deleted.
What are you talking about? Like, I have all sorts of really good friends that I haven't talked to at all during the lockdown.
Ways.
I haven't
Phone
talked to him in a month, and he lives in the city.
If you get a text from me during the shutdown, and it's like, hey, man, hope you're doing well, thinking of you, I'm drunk. I'm just out back drunk, and I'm smoking a cigar.
Oh, going emo, getting in your feelings next to the bonfire.
No, not even that. I'm just like, I hope you're doing all right. But, I appreciate you not reaching out to me.
I sure do love you, buddy.
That's called emo.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Carol Baskin, you bitch!
This is the Dave Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Yeah! Just when you think it's over, you know?
All I want to do is drink beer for breakfast. We are here on another Friday morning, and it is time for us to start drinking some more, because everybody has already cracked their beer. You know what? Sometimes call for, a little bit of... self-medication, and
Ian, is that for real?
Whoa, what's going on? All right, I'll see you guys later.
your battery's dying.
I'm blasting off.
Oh, boy. Oh. The acid's kicking in. See you later, Ian.
Well, we have made it through another week somehow, some way, but we did it a week that felt like a month. In a month that felt like a year, so here we are, and we have earned these drinks. And Audrey's making some faces. What's the?
You don't like it?
What do you have? What don't you like?
So I got the Stone Tangerine Express IPA because Dave was just like tooting Stone's horn like hard over the past couple days or couple weeks. And I was like, oh, I'll try this, but this is the only Stone that they had at the grocery store. And you know, I'm once again IPAs. Depending on which kind they are,
look at the bottom of the can. Tiny. When was that made? It's, I mean, like, I wouldn't say, you know, the Tangerine Express IPA is a.
It actually does say on the bottom of these cans, huh?
305/20.
What year? 305/20.
20.
Okay. Mm.
That's, so, I mean, that should be fresh as hell.
Yeah, that is still this year, right? Yeah. Yeah. This one was, so I'm also doing a Stone today. This is, I busted this out the other day for one of our happy hours. It's called Stone.
See, that looks
Peak
so good.
Conditions. And I mean, cool looking can. My wife, who's very pregnant, she's like, let me just take a little sip of that yesterday. And she's like, I don't like grapefruit in itself, but she really likes grapefruit alcohol. And this isn't specifically a grapefruit flavored beer, but it's called a hazy double IPA with added passion fruit, orange, and guava. 8.1% alcohol by volume. So it's got some pretty good kick to it. Nice. But beyond that, it also it really does have that kind of fruity flavor to it. So if you're a fan of grapefruit anything, you'll certainly enjoy this beer. So cheers to you, friends.
Cheers to you, Dave. And I'm going to be drinking the Divergent Paths from our friends over there at Modern Times. They have
Closer than far, really, or far than close.
They have some really great beers that they do. And this one is a collaboration with Virgin Beer out of Carlsbad, 8.4% alcohol by volume. Galaxy and Strata. Hops are what they use to make this, and it is a double IPA at that, clocking it at 8.4. But
Jessica, I'm so happy you got beer again. I'm so
Jessica
happy
said having a Michelada listening to you guys. Cheers, cheers to you, Jessica. Thanks
nice.
For hanging out with us and drinking along. But yeah, it's close then far. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, it's close to your head and then far away from
whatever.
Your head.
Yeah.
He's just like,
just he's the worst influencer ever.
I'm just trying to drink here.
Ian, are you having anything to drink today, or did you exhaust all of your beer yesterday before?
As usual, I exhausted all of my beer, so I am actually drinking some wine today. I'm going a little classy.
Oh.
Yes, I have the 2019 Liberty Creek Red Blend. It is a new world. Very fruity aromas. I like the acidity in it, and it's going to give me a headache within 15 minutes. I guarantee it.
Absolutely.
What did you pay for
does.
That bottle? Or did that even come in a bottle?
This bottle retails for $6.99.
Ah. Mwah, perfect.
We're economical in this house.
The old value bottle, which
Amen.
Is nothing wrong with that. Hey, it all yeah. gets the job done
Amen.
In one way or the other. So, Audrey, I'm actually
Cheers.
Really surprised that you are not a fan of the Tangerine Express IPA because
I don't taste any citrus. Like, none.
What do you taste?
Pine cones.
Oh, it's too hoppy for you?
Well, way too hoppy. Like, I mean, yeah. it's just like, I am good because I like all like the juicy, hazy IPA is the ones where I get a lot of that citrus and, you know, like Dave, like I think I would really like the one that you have, like some of that grapefruit, even though I don't like grapefruit on its own. I like grapefruit flavored things. But yeah, no, this one straight tastes like I'm chomping on a cone, like a pine.
Yeah, why is it
that
grapefruit flavored anything to me is nasty, but grapefruit flavored alcohol totally works. Like
I've never eaten a whole grapefruit in my life. Not once.
No,
there's
never.
Been no point in my life where I've finished an entire softball-sized grapefruit because why in the hell would I? Like,
you have
but
to have
I'm with you.
Full
like,
of sugar
I,
on it.
Like the citrus in beers and in IPAs and that grapefruit mm-hmm. flavor that comes through. Mm-hmm. I love it. I don't know why. I mean, it helps balance out the pine and everything else in there. So maybe it's all about balance. Whereas when you're eating a grapefruit,
not
it's just pure
this.
Unadulterated sour.
So Sierra said, wish that I could have a beer with you guys for beer for breakfast, but I am arguably essential. Do you think anyone would actually care at this point if I did get drunk at work? I guess it depends. Fun. I mean, are you like an air traffic controller?
Are you a
nurse?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you a doctor?
Yeah, because that feels like it matters. Our friend Lacey on Twitter earlier today posted this meme that said, the entire world is Las Vegas now. Everyone's losing money. It's acceptable to drink at all hours, and no one has any idea what day it is, which is just so true.
Yes. You just come out. That. Well, that's like what I was saying when I was pulling weeds or whatever I was doing the other day, and I thought it was 3 p.m. Go to look at the clock, and it's 10. That's
yeah.
how it is. Like when you're coming out of the casino sometimes, you're just like, oh, is it day or night? Oh, thanks, babe.
Is it still the same day?
I've been Ooh. Like when we finish the show, I'll walk over like and I'll just go lay down, like and I've been sleeping until like 1 or 2 in the afternoon. We get done, you know, 11:30, and I'll take another hour and a half, 2 hour nap. And my wife just hates me because she's, you know, on all of her conference calls and she's doing all the stuff for her school that she's got to do. And meanwhile, I'm just like, I'll just drink 3 beers. And I'm gonna take a nap now. And then she comes in and like loudly opens the door. Wakes me up.
Like,
Jessica said, I only knew it was Friday because you guys are live and drinking. Yeah, that's we know. Yeah. Well, I mean, but then again, we've been live and drinking a lot more than just on Fridays too. We keep doing all these virtual happy hours. We got, I don't know about you guys, but I got pretty schnockered on Wednesday when we started that happy hour at 3:30 in the afternoon, and then just kept drinking. So yeah. Whoops.
If we're gonna do what we're gonna do, you know, the fact that, you know, like again, it is Friday. We do have the weekend off, and we do encourage everybody to relax because, I mean, the thing is, during all of this, during all the pandemic craziness and all the news and all the bad news and all that, if we can remain somewhat calm and we can remain somewhat at ease and not have our blood pressure go through the roof, I think we'll be able to manage all of this so much better. So I feel like we are actually doing ourselves a big time favor by not stressing out and having a beer this early.
I don't know how good it is for our health, though. I mean, I really feel like every time that I've weighed myself, I'm gaining like 2 pounds every day. I'm like, how is that possible? It's like, am I really, my calorie intake and outtake, is it really like a 7,000 calorie deficiency?
You know what's going to help you? Put on a bathing suit. I did that yesterday, and I was like, oh, God.
Oh, boy.
I was like, okay, got to go order some new sizes.
Breathe.
On that note, let's keep drinking our
beer. Listen for reviews of your new favorite brews.
Cheers.
Beer for breakfast every Friday morning at 9:30 with Dave and Mahoney.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So to round things out today, they are saying that, because we were talking about this the other day, whether or not, you know, the dating apps that are out there are still doing well. Like, are people now shying away from Tinder and Bumble and Grindr and all of that stuff as a result of the lockdown that's going on? Tinder had weekly traffic of around 9.3 million users. It has since surged to 10.2 million users on Tinder.
Whoa.
And the users have definitely been in the market for something.
Ten million
people is a lot of people on a single app. I mean, because you got to think that.
But I mean,
Bumble,
are all single people on there?
No, because that's the hookup one. Hinge is the one where a lot of people are going now to actually like find people.
They're all
but Tinder and
men.
Bumble are hookups.
They're all hookup apps
not
for men. Yes, 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 they are.
Yes,
they are.
Yes.
Well, I
Bumble
would like to think that
definitely
there's
a hookup app
some
for
guy out there.
Who doesn't want to get laid? Who doesn't want to hook up with you? Like, why would you hope that?
No, who's just, like, wanting, like more than just a hookup. I don't know.
Well,
one of my friends now husband on Tinder.
Yeah, I mean, we all want more than a hookup. But, I mean, first and foremost, we want the hookup.
Well, girls want the hookup, too.
Well,
like,
that's what I mean.
No. Either.
That's what I mean. Not like, me. Yeah, all these girls pretending like they're not, they don't want to knock boots, too. Lies.
But there are some people who are only on there specifically to do it. Which
yeah.
is annoying.
No, for sure.
If you're like trying to.
But basically, in a nutshell with this story, all of the apps, the big ones, at least we're talking about, the Tinder and the Grindr and the Bumble, they have all seen pretty significant jumps to their usership since the whole lockdown started.
So since my wife, or I was going to say this, I waited, I think it was like 14 dates, 13 or 14 dates before my wife and I even kissed.
You gentlemen.
Something like that. I am.
Kissed?
I'm
you prude.
Quite a gentleman.
13 or 14 dates, like days.
Well, maybe not like
kissed?
Dates, but like, but like hanging out. Like there was probably, I would say, probably a solid like maybe seven or eight, nine dates, but it was like 14 hangouts.
Okay, I don't mean to blow your cover here, but is that because
what?
You had other chicks that you were dating too?
No. No, I was. I like you. Like, if I don't like you, like, or if not, if not, not say if I don't like you, but if I'm like, if I'm really into you, I want to like, I want to do things right, you know, like, you know, try to like see if like, you know, this is not just a physical thing, and we can get there. But if I feel like you're just like cool, but like you're not like marriage material, then you know, like we could hang out and do whatever when earlier.
Yeah.
So the reason why I asked you that is because there's definitely been circumstances where, like, you know, I've been single or whatever.
Double-dipping.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, like, you meet someone, you're like, you're cool. And then you're like, hey, I actually kind of like this person. And they're like, you know, maybe they just got out of a relationship. And they're like, I want to take it slow. And you're like, yeah, for sure. We can definitely take it slow because I've got three other people that I'm talking to as well. You know, I mean, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's, sometimes it's not necessary to rush it.
Just a romantic. That's what it is.
Okay.
That is what that
yeah.
I am a romantic. Very much so. Like, I mean,
go
think about
on.
This. Like I had to, you know, I had to put
set
a,
the mood, honey.
Like, I had to, like, make sure that, like, my wife was, like, all in before, you know, like, the other stuff came out, you know? Like, I mean,
what would
like,
you
if
say
you,
the
if
most
I would roll in, like, if I would roll
done.
In, like, this. Most romantic thing. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
most romantic.
I need to know.
I'm just a good dude. Like I'm
well, yeah,
I'm a nice
we know
guy.
That,
like
but...
I'm not like I'm bad at planning stuff, but like I'll do thoughtful things, and it's all tailored to the individual. There's no like one size fits all on all that. You know,
Ian, are you a romantic guy? Like what do you what do you do anything
oh,
that's
Ian's got to be so romantic.
I'm pretty sure that I'm the most romantic person on this show. Not to diminish you, Mahoney. You're very romantic with your proposals, with your dinners, with all of that stuff. But no, I like being romantic. I just like getting an emotional reaction out of somebody. That's really it. So I love very hard. Very, very hard.
Go on.
Who's more romantic, you or your girlfriend?
Oh, she is, hands down. And she beats me. yeah, she'll like buy me gifts and, you know, have somebody like a professional ribbon tier like do stuff, and me, I'll just buy you some Tory Burch and surprise you on the pillow. I don't know.
No, I mean that's really cute that you're that right? You're that romantic.
I love it.
I write poems. I write poems, guys.
Guys.
Okay.
Do you ever of squishy interior men? I love that.
Do you when you give somebody a really thoughtful, well written out card, do you always feel like you hit the mark if they start crying, and if they don't, you're kind of like, ah, screwed up.
Yeah.
Should delve a little deeper. Yeah.
I've written like five letters, like five cards ever to my wife.
Yeah, really?
I'm not a card guy.
I leave a handwritten note to my wife every morning. I mean, not during this time because there's, you know. But yeah, like a little note, and it sits with her coffee. That's all prepared for her, a little K cup.
How often do you do reruns? Like, what's your reruns ratio on that? Yeah, like how often do you go back to the same note?
Same note.
They're dated.
No, I know, but you're gonna run through. You've only got so many thoughts. You know, I mean, there's always so many different ways you can say "I love you" or "I miss you."
No, not if you're a well of love like I am. I mean, maybe your shallow well will run dry within a couple of notes. But all right, that'll do it for us. See you later.
Good show today.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free. There's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.